Well, over the summer, we've been looking at our purposes and our purpose statement, and we're going to kind of bring her home here with His Purpose, My Priority, entitling it. As we've looked at all of these purposes that we've looked at on the wall, we've got six of them primarily. And again, I say that under each one of these, there's obviously a bunch of bullet points that we're trying to follow. And it's not just the six that you see here. Obviously, we know it expands. But we've tried to take these six here and hone it in and say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we believe God wants us to do as a church. Now we look at this, and I want you to see this, a very familiar verse for us in Romans 8, verse 28, if you will. Pick up there in verse 28. He says, "And we know," there's a good word for us, "know," having knowledge, having confidence and assurance, "that all things work together for good." Well, to them that love God, to them who are called according, notice this, to His purpose. Now, God has a purpose for every one of us. I want to remind you of that. There's a purpose for every soul that has ever lived or walked this earth. God's purpose is here. And He says, now we can know that all things work together for good to them. When a child of God understands that there's a purpose given to him or her by God, when things happen in our lives we don't understand, we say, okay, wait, hang on a second. I know that God is working this together for good. Now, God's purpose in our life is for our good and His glory. We have to remember that. Everything He does in our lives is for our good and His glory. We don't understand everything, obviously. But He says, I have a purpose for you. Every person in life usually has a purpose of some kind. They may not state it, but they have a purpose. If you go onto the state website and you're trying to start a new business, you'll put in on their form, they say, what's the name of the business, and blah, 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 how long, what's your this and that info. And then it has a little section down that says, what's the purpose of your business? What's the mission statement or purpose statement for your business? And you got to fill it in, you know, to provide quality work at a reasonable price or whatever the case is. And you think about that, every person has a purpose. I mean, I was out and about yesterday, and the guy, you ever pull up to the stoplight? Well, you're trying to get through the green arrow and it turns yellow, and then you get stuck right there in the turning lane with the guy at the cardboard box is just staring at you, and you don't want to I don't want to look over. And when I have some money, yesterday we were trying to give some people some money. Oh, but the one time I had some cash in my pocket, and I said, this homeless guy kind of walked by. I was going to give it to him. Well, he was walking, and I thought he was homeless, but he got into a nice truck. I mean, so I'm glad I didn't say, here's some money. You know, sorry about that. But they got a purpose. Everybody's got a purpose. And then one guy had a cardboard sign and said, hey, I'm going to lie, man. I need money for a beer. Okay, I like the honesty in that guy. But you think about now, the purpose that we have in life, again, is God's purpose. We're saying, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to follow your rules, and I want to know what exactly it is that you have for my life. Now, there's many characters in the Bible that we're going to see that had a purpose, and yet sometimes it wasn't God's purpose. It wasn't God's purpose. He said, now, I want to do your will. And he goes on to talk about this, but I don't want to get stuck here. Let's go back to, if you will, 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5, because I want you to see 1 Kings 5, how that David had a purpose in his heart. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5, notice what he says. And behold, I purpose. To build an house under the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, or Solomon said, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now again, notice David had a purpose to build the house of God, but you remember the story. David comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, how do I dwell in a nice house like this? Now you remember David's house was very fancy. He had conquered much of the land. He had ivory, he had gold, he had all kinds of things, precious jewels and all of these things inside of his house. And he said, well, how do I dwell in this thing, this dwelling place like this, and you dwell out in a tent? At that time, you recall, the ark was still there in the tent. They called it the tabernacle. He says, Lord, I desire to build you a house. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to desire to do things for God like that. But you know, sometimes God says no. He says no. And God says, no, you can't do that. David said, well, I'm just trying to do something for you, Lord. I mean, goodness. God says, no. He says, because you're a man that has shed blood. He says, but I will use your son to build and fulfill your desire. Now, I want you to notice this. Although David had a purpose, God shut the door. Solomon fulfilled the purpose. God has a will for you, and God has a will for your son. They're different wills. They're different plans. Now, when God shuts a door, that's not when we get discouraged. Just a little side note here. When God does say no, and sometimes he doesn't just say no, he'll just be silent. And I don't like that. Do you? I'm like, Lord, just give me an answer, please. He won't say anything. And that's the hardest part for most Christians. We can't deal with that. I've referenced this verse, pardon my repetition here, but I've referenced this verse the last couple of weeks when they bring that poor girl and throw her down in front of Jesus, remember? And said, Lord, we caught her in the very act. And the only way you could catch that girl in the very act is if one of those men was with her, by the way. Okay. And so she was bloody and bruised. They slapped her around a little bit. She had a bloody mouth, you can imagine, hair all tattered and torn, and dress was all tattered and torn. They throw her down on the ground. She's got dust all over. And said, we caught her in the very act. What do you say about that, Jesus? And what does the Bible say? The Bible says Jesus feigned as if he heard them not. Now, did he hear them? Oh, he heard them. He just didn't answer them. And he knelt down and began to write in the sand. You know, sometimes when you don't get an answer from Jesus, that is the answer. He's trying to keep us from making a big mistake. And how I wish I would have listened so many thousands of times, right? I wish I wouldn't have gone forward. I said it last week, but none of God's doors have push on it. None of them. I just barge our way right through, do whatever we want to do. So when David comes and says, I desire to build a house for my God, God says no. And Solomon says here in this text, he says, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father. Now notice what he does. He's fulfilling the will of God that David thought was his will. And it wasn't. And you know what God does? It maybe answer a prayer. He may be working through those behind you. See, we need to get past our own little understanding that everything's about me, myself, and I. It's greater than that. The decisions you make affect those people around you. You know that. The decisions we make, the actions we take forward affect the people around us. And oh, how we've learned that. I'm going to encourage you this morning with this. Is your purpose His purpose? Is His purpose your priority? Are you seeking to know what He wants you to do? What He wants you to do? You know, there's people that will come, it says, and you don't have to turn there, but in the book of Ezra, I just got through reading the book of Ezra and now the book of Nehemiah, but it says in Ezra 4 that he hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. You remember Ezra and Nehemiah went back? And by the way, they didn't have a really crummy life and nothing else to do. And they said, well, since I got nothing else to do, I'll go and let's go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You have to remember, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He had a nice house. He had a nice job. He was very close to the most powerful man in all the world at the time. And he said to King, let me go back and help my brethren rebuild the wall and reorganize, if you will, the city. But notice, there were people that were hired against Ezra and Nehemiah to frustrate their purpose. There's people around us that are going to frustrate our purposes. We know that. You know, the biggest enemy you have is yourself, isn't it? Shoot ourselves in the foot all the time. Put your foot in the mouth. All those things. We do it all the time. Trying to frustrate the will of God. And I say this often as I try to pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you for blessing our church in spite of me. Despite what we've tried to do, we've made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that I've gotten in the way sometimes. Lord, I know that. And I thank you so much for continuing to bless and guide us. But there's people that will try to frustrate their purpose. Now, we fast forward to the New Testament. You remember, recall what Paul said. And Paul makes a statement. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He goes on. He talks about some of the fruit of the Spirit. In all of these things, in the book of Galatians especially. But he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That word frustrate means to interrupt, disrupt, irritate, aggravate, frustrate. The grace of God. What God has done for me, I don't frustrate that grace by getting in the way and not living like I'm supposed to. And in essence, I become a castaway. I become somebody that is all talk and no action. There's people that will frustrate our purpose as a church. I tell you, and I couldn't tell you from the pulpit because it wouldn't, I don't have liberty to say some of these things, but there are people that have tried to frustrate our purpose as a church. There's people that have literally, the naysayers, and there's some critics, and there's some people that have tried to throw shade on our ministry, our church. And yet, you know, those people never even stepped foot into our church, have they? They've never even met any of us. And yet they, well, I heard. Well, I think, you know what I think. You think now there's a lot of frustrating things around us, and we ought to go forward and say, God, I want to know your purpose. They tried to frustrate Ezra and Nehemiah. You know the story that they go. There's people that come and they hired against them to get them to come down off the wall. And Nehemiah, I love it. In Nehemiah chapter 6, he says, I cannot come down off this wall. I'm doing a great work. They said, why don't you come down off the wall? We need to have a meeting. No. Nehemiah says, why should I come down and the work cease? Why should I stop doing this? And again, I preach a message on this. But it's Nehemiah doesn't say, I won't come down. He says, I can't come down. If he said, I won't come down, that would still leave him in control. I won't come. I could come down, but I don't feel like it. Nehemiah says, I can't come down. Meaning what? He says, if I come down off this wall, I will step outside of God's will for my life. And he says, I can't do that. We have an understanding today that without Christ, we can do nothing, and I want to do the purpose of God. And when someone says, come down off that wall, when they say, stop going to church, what's the big fuss about that? Why are you in your Bible still? Why are you staying faithful? I can't come down. Oh, you mean you won't come? No, I can't. I physically cannot come down. I physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally cannot stop going to church. I can't do it. I can't stop reading my Bible. I can't do it. Because God's called me. This is the purpose we're talking about. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a family purpose? Do you have a mission statement at home? You have one at work. If you were to look it up maybe tomorrow on your business's website maybe or something. They always have some kind of purpose statement. We should follow this and say, God, lead me, direct me, and guide me. There's many people out there that will try to come against us. Naysayers, critics, and others. Now let's keep going. We think now, he says in Proverbs 15, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. In the multitude of counselors, they are established. Every purpose is established by counsel. With good advice, make war. This is, again, you remember, this is Solomon speaking in the book of Proverbs. Solomon made some blunders early on in his ministry or his business, his kingdom years. He didn't seek counsel. Now, he comes to the Lord, and you know the great statement that's made, that he says, Lord, I want wisdom. Do you want fame, riches, girls, women, fast cars? No. I want wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to lead thy people. And God says, since you asked that, I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for. Now, I wish that was still the way it works, right? Because I say all the time, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. Are you going to give me anything else? You know? He says, I want wisdom and understanding. Now, we fast forward. Who was the son of Solomon? Well, Rehoboam. Remember what Rehoboam did? He was handed the keys to the kingdom. Here you go. You're in charge. Daddy died. He lived a pretty rough life at the end. All of that. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Rehoboam comes in. He seeks counsel from the wise men that stood with Solomon and said, what do you think I should say to the people? They said, well, if you treat the people well and you treat them kindly, let them know you're on their side, let them know you're for the people, they'll be with you. He says, okay, yeah, I heard that before. And then he goes to his cronies, his guys that he grew up with, he went to high school with. He says, hey guys, what do you think I should say? Oh, they get mad. You tell these no good losers, you tell them they better do what you say or else. You're the king and you enact your power and you let them know. So he goes out in his foolishness and tells the people that. Remember that? You better listen to what I have to say. You better follow what I say. And he says some vulgar things. And it says the people revolted and turned on him. And he had to go and hide and cower like a dog with his tail between his legs and run out of town. Now, I'm talking about this today. He had not the purpose of God in mind. Although Solomon started out well, you know the story. He had a great purpose to fulfill the will of God. It only took a matter of some years that he fell into some lustful things, didn't he? He liked women. David liked women. And you see the progression. It's a generational sin. David wasn't very careful with women, was he? Solomon, as a little boy, sat back and watched that. Solomon then, he took it to the extreme. You know, he went real extreme. Here comes Rehoboam now. Now, thinking about the purpose we have as a church, the purpose as an individual, do you have the purpose of God? My goal as a father, my goal as a husband, my goal as a minister, my goal as whoever it is, I want to please God, and I don't always do that. Solomon says, I want to remind you of something, son. Seek counsel. If you don't, purposes are disappointed. If you're seeking for a decision or an answer today in some area of your life, I'd encourage you to seek counsel. Again, run to the Bible, study the Bible, pray to God, ask God, but also seek counsel. Not necessarily the counsel of your friends. Seek counsel from somebody older than you. Seek counsel from a spiritual guide in your life. And we'll do our dead level best. And I know many of you are a good counsel to me. I come and ask you things before certain things, and I appreciate it. But he says, be careful. These purposes can be disappointed. We have these purposes that we've been studying over the summer, and I hope they've been a help to you. Every purpose, we must follow and seek him. I have so many verses that I wanted to get to today, but I must keep going. Now think through this with me this morning before we stop. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Go over there. Daniel 1. I love the book of Daniel. Now you know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. Daniel 1, you remember the story. Daniel and his friends are taken away. They're taken captive. And what we believe is that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with thousands of other young Jewish people, were taken captive as slaves by the conquering army. And if you know anything about it, we study this a little bit in our Bible Institute. It's very fascinating. But these young people were mutilated. They were molested. They were taken advantage of. It was not a good thing. And they were taken in as slaves, and they were sold. And I love what Daniel says, chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed. There it is. What did he do? He purposed in his heart. It starts in the heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Notice what he's saying. They sat before these young people. Now again, you remember this. They've taken a long journey. They didn't ride in a chariot. They walked most of the journey from Jerusalem east over here. And they got here now. And they've walked. They've been tired. They're malnourished. In fact, they kept them malnourished for a reason. The Nazis did this back in the world. They kept people malnourished so they couldn't have the energy to get up and try to run, try to break away, try to escape. So they kept them malnourished, very sickly. And they sat down at the table and they say to Daniel and his friends, hey, here's a ribeye, baked potato, sour cream, chives, butter. Two scoops of butter, amen. Some fried asparagus, but just get rid of that. And some broccoli, steamed broccoli, not bad. Broccoli with that cheese on it, I like that, with some bacon, little bacon bits in it, that's good. Now, he sits all this down, and you can imagine these young men are going, good night. And by the way, these are young boys, and boys will eat you out of house and home, don't they? And they're, oh. And Daniel says, hey guys, hang on a second. And they're going, no, Daniel. He says, oh, has this been offered to the false pagan god? Well, of course. Did you pray over this meat, offering it to the false pagan god? Of course we did. Daniel says, can you give us a minute? He says, I purposed in my heart not to defile myself with this. And Daniel goes on, and I won't read all of it, but he says, hey, listen, give us something like pulse. They took vegetables and other things and pulsed it up. Some people use it today. They call it the Daniel diet. And he says, after a certain amount of days, come back and examine us and see if we're healthy or we're worse off. And you know the story. They come back and examine, give him another physical. And they were more healthy. They were healthier. They were more outgoing. They had much more energy, all of it, than the others that had been feasting on this food, this meat. But Daniel says, I purposed. Now, again, I want to remind you this. You go through the book of Daniel. Daniel, at the very beginning, purposed in his heart that he would do God's purpose, which led him later to be able to stand up and say to the king and the others, I'm not going to follow that. They said, Daniel, you can't pray. Daniel says, that's fine. If we catch you praying, that's fine. I get it. I know. These are petty people, petty people. And so Daniel goes home, and I love the story. He kneels down, opens up his window so they can hear him. And he faces towards Jerusalem and he begins to pray. And he doesn't whisper because down below they were able to hear him. That's boldness, isn't it? Daniel says, no, I ain't going to play your game. Well, if you don't, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. If you don't bow to the image, we're going to throw you in the furnace. So be it. He says, go ahead. Do what you got to do. And through this, we understand. I'm saying today that we as Solomon, that we as Daniel, that we as Paul said, to purpose to do God's purpose. Now, what is that, Brother Tim? You find it out for yourself. The first steps, Paul would say to the church there at Colossae, he says, walk worthy of the Lord. To walk, not run. There's later times when he talks about running. In the book of Hebrews, he says to run the race. But he says, walk worthy. You want to know what to do and how to fulfill the purpose of God for your life? Just take one step forward. I've said it before. I had one person come to me and I asked them to church and asked them to church, to come to church. You need to be in church. They'd come one Sunday and then they'd miss like 6 or 7 Sundays. I said, you need to be in church. Well, I just can't figure out what God wants me to do. I'm trying to find the will of God. I said, sir, the first step to that would be to be in church, right? The first step would be to take a step forward by faith, just be in church. See, it's not difficult. There's steps you follow. We want to be outside of the book and live in the world. We want to live an ungodly, carnal lifestyle, and then we plead for God to show us His will, and it doesn't happen that way. We can't. It doesn't register. There's not a connection there. He says, I want you to have a pure heart, and we know what Jesus says. Those that have a pure heart shall see God. There's a connection. The connection is clear. The Wi-Fi signal is strong, right? We understand. Okay, I know what you want me to do. Daniel says I purpose. I won't do it. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. You've mutilated our bodies. You've taken advantage of us. You've ripped us away from our home and our houses, but I still purpose to do God's will. I want to do His will. I want to follow suit with what He wants me to do. Now, I don't know what it is for you in your life today, but do you have a purpose in mind for your family? Do you have a purpose for your marriage? If you don't have it, it's going to crumble. We have a purpose. Do you have a purpose for your children? Do you have a purpose for your finances? Obviously, I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to follow suit with that. I want to do what He's asked me to do. Now, let's go again to the New Testament. Let's go all the way, if you will, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, let's see what he says here. Paul comes and he's speaking to this man, you know, Timothy. He's encouraging him in the faith. This is the last letter that Paul will write. Oh, and I must wrap it up here. This is the last letter that Paul will ever write, or epistle, before he is murdered there in the prison in Rome. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, we'll get to chapter 1 and 2 next week, but chapter 3, notice what he says, verse 10. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known. Thou hast fully known. There's that word again. My doctrine. Manner of life. Purpose. Faith, long-suffering. Charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. And he goes on to talk about where he received it all. He says to Timothy here, Timothy, before I am killed, before they execute me, I want you to know something, that you should continue on and keep faithful. And he says, here it is, that you have seen it in me. You've watched it in my life. How important our testimony is to that. I was listening to the Word Bible this week driving, and I got through the book of Ecclesiastes, and boy, that's a little bit different. But he says, remember what he says about the flies in the apothecary, the flies in the ointment, it causes it to stink. And he says, so does a little folly in him who is in reputation, in him who is some kind of leadership, just a little folly can cause it to stink, you know, that reputation. I thought about that just a little. Paul says, Timothy, you fully known my doctrine, what I've preached, what I believe. You've fully known my manner of life, how I act, both on the platform and off the platform. You've followed me and listened to me. You've known my purpose in life. Nothing deterred my purpose, being beaten and whipped and stoned, left for dead on at least two occasions. I mean, they looked at Paul on several occasions on the ground, bleeding out, and they went, he's gone, man. He's dead. And as they're walking away, he hops up, you know, shakes the dust off. Hey, wait up. I'm good to go. He says, Timothy, you've seen that. You've seen as we've walked and been faithful. You saw how that we ministered to a man like Demas, only for Demas later to depart from us, leave me having loved this present world. You've seen how we've been abandoned and betrayed by the Jews. You know my purpose. You've seen my faith and long-suffering, my charity and patience. Now, we go on later. We're not told a lot about Timothy. Timothy doesn't speak from the Bible. There were two epistles written to him, but he doesn't speak. But what we know according to church history is that Timothy would go to Ephesus, a very wicked city, and he would minister for many years, and he would keep ministering. And at the end of his ministry, they gave him a plaque and a trophy and thanked him for his service. No. Didn't happen that way, did it? At the end of serving the people and being a faithful pastor, they tied his ankles together and tied it to the back of the saddle of a stallion and dragged his body through the town all day long. They just drug it through town. And they stood on the side of the highway as he was drugged by, and they all clapped and laughed at him. And at the end of the day, about 8 to 10 hours of doing this, they realized that he was still breathing, and they beat him to death. Now, where did Timothy get that kind of passion? Where did he get that kind of purpose? I'll tell you right now, he watched Paul. He watched his mentor. And I'll tell you something again. Your kids are going to be sitting on the edge of their bed one day when they're 25 or 35 or 45 years old, just like we did, and have all the pressures of life and have all these anxieties and all this depression that may set in. And they go, what is my purpose in life? And if they got an unfaithful mom and dad that flaked out, they'll flake out. But if they got a mama that was faithful and a daddy or a granddaddy or a grand that was faithful, they'll go, you know what? I'm going to be faithful like grandma. I'm going to stay the course and keep going. Why? Because my kids deserve better than that. My family deserves. Listen, I said it before, but somebody's got to stop the bleeding in your family. It's generational sin. Daddy's alcoholic, I'll be alcoholic. Mama was messed up, I'll be. No. You and I can come and say, by God's grace, I'll have the same purpose as Paul did. Timothy, you could have quit long ago. You could have thrown in the towel. When they started to rally the troops around your house in Ephesus and started to chant, death be to Timothy, death be to Timothy, I would have said, man, I'm out of here. I'm going to sneak out the back somehow. Timothy didn't do that. Daniel and your friends, you can sit there and starve to death. We don't care. Daniel says, was this offered to the false pagan gods? No thanks. We trust God. He'll take care of us. Solomon, do you believe it? I believe David purposed in, my dad purposed in his heart to build the house of God, and I want to fulfill that. I'm not as good as David. I'm not as powerful as David. I don't have the tenacity like David, but by God's grace, I'll fulfill his purpose. Are you fulfilling the purpose of God today? I hope you are. And it's simple as this, and I'll close with this, asking the Lord, Lord, help me. You're 65 now. You're 60, you're 70, 75, I don't know, 55, 45. Lord, I've lived long enough for myself. I've lived long enough trying to figure out this, this, and that. I've lived long enough putting cars together, shooting guns, crocheting, shopping, buying this, buying. I've lived long enough doing all of that. I want to know what you want me to do. I said that one day in a preaching in another church, had a young lady come up. I said, I never heard that before. I'd never asked God, what do you want me to do? I thought about that. So many haven't even thought about that. Are you seeking to know what God wants you to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with this money? What do you want me to do with this marriage? What do you want me to do with these children? What do you want me to do? Because why? We don't have a lot of time left. One day soon, we're going to stand before Christ. And only what's done for Christ will last. only what's done. I've not been to one funeral. I've done a lot of funerals. I don't know why. A lot of funerals. And they have the hearse outside with the U-Haul hooked to the back of it. This is all his junk. By the way, I feel sorry for anyone who has to clean out my garage when I pass. Okay, I'm sorry. Start getting rid of all that junk now. Amen. I know. No, why? Because you're going to stand before Christ, you alone, nobody else beside you. Lord, I would have, but my wife was, nuh-uh. I would have, but the kids were rebellious, you know. I would have, but Lord, you know I had that problem with. No, it's you alone. And he's going to point us to the book and say, did you follow the book? I had a purpose for your life. Let's get busy doing the will of God. We'll continue next week. I thank you for listening so well. Would you stand with me? We better stop right there. I do appreciate your time this morning. And I want you to think about that today. Where am I? I know we have a purpose statement for our church. We have a purpose statement for our job. We have a purpose statement for our career, for our families. But do you have one for yourself? I want to do what God wants me to do. Simple as that. And God is placing all of us strategically around. You in college. You over here on this side. You in Albuquerque. You over here in Taharis and Edgewood. He puts us all here so he can use us to reach other people. We all have a little bubble that we all have to reach. God's put us there for a reason. Would you do that? Would you ask the Lord today to fulfill, help you to fulfill his purpose?